All right. Thanks, Don. That was awesome selections of the songs before the service today, too. Thank you. Just to let you guys know, it is Regina's daughter's Jasmine's birthday, and they are all out celebrating her birthday. So Regina will be maybe listening in here and there, but that's her situation this weekend. So wish Jazz a happy birthday. Just a little comment about my stole here. This is the ministerial stole that we as ministers get when you complete the ministerial, take your ordination. It's got a little sheaf of wheat there and an AT symbol on the back. And it's not like required officially that we wear a stole when we give a sermon or homily. I just do this for me because it helps sort of keep me present and remind me. And I just do this because it's just a prop at the end of the day. It doesn't mean anything. Wanted to welcome everyone and just take a minute here to greet each other. And I'm going to play our awakening song and just say hi and open our hearts and greet each other with love. So I'm going to play the song here.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Forgotten memory, dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder, beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Chidananda, oh Shanti, oh Shanti, Satchidananda.
Song always gets me in a devotional spirit. I was just watching Lynn and she was putting her hands like this and grooving in. So good to see everyone. Welcome. What an awesome day. Hey, there's Sean and Levita. Be joining you soon there, huh? Hey, everybody from all over the place. That's great. So I'm going to share our statement of purpose as Awakening Together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, cultures, and symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And as usual, I will highlight the second core value. We realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. And recently, as part of the Board of Trustees meeting, we contemplated and focused a lot on listening and looked up the definition. And there was a element of courtesy and hospitality that we offer to one another when we listen to each other that's very willing and generous, that I want to throw in there too as a element of listening, courtesy and hospitality we offer one another. So here is our announcements that we're going to share here today. The first is that there are two Awakening Together classes that are open for registration. The Teachings of Inner Ramana, which is a three-week course, is going to be offered on Thursday, February 28th at 7:30 Eastern Time every week. Now, in the class, you're really going to get into becoming familiar with surrender and what that really means, the I Am That mantra and the self-inquiry as the means to self-realization. The other class is open, is also called, it's an MPP course, and it's called Understanding Purification. And this is towards the beginning part of the MPP curriculum. And it's a four-week class based on Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul. Now, this is a daytime class, and it's being offered on two different days, on Tuesday and Thursday. And they start on the week of March 18th. So if you want to know more about these classes, just go to our site and click on the Classes and Retreats online classes. And the next announcement is Jacqueline will actually be interviewing John Mark Stroud for this month's satsang next Sunday. And that is February 17th at 7:30. And this will be our first satsang on Zoom, so it should be a really nice experience. You'll be able to see John Mark and interact with him. And this is our second satsang with John Mark. He was also our retreat leader at the 2016 Fall Retreat several years ago. If you don't know John Mark, you can check out his website, onewhoawakes.org. John Mark is really funny and, of course, very clear. He awoke to what he calls the perfect presence of limitless love. It is with great joy that he is now moved to share truth of the ever-present love of God with everyone he meets. So join us 2 weeks from tonight at 7:30 for what promises to be a really great satsang with John Mark. Now with Jacqueline. And also, this is another announcement regarding the movie discussion group, Joe versus the Volcano. This was that Tom Hanks movie from a few years ago. The story of a hypochondriac who, upon learning that he is dying, accepts an offer to throw himself into a volcano on a tropical island. Along the way, he finally learns to truly live. It stars Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. You can watch it on YouTube for $2.99. It's also available on Google Play, Vudu, and iTunes. Movie discussion group will be on Sunday, February 24th. And the last announcement is regarding the February meditation and mitigation retreat. And Regina has decided to cancel that since she and our beloved Shauna here are the only two who registered. And now Shauna is actually traveling here to Chicago to help me move to La Vida, actually. So she'll be, which I really thank you for, Shauna. I'm actually flying her out here and she's going to drive my car and we're going to take the moving truck and my car down to La Vida. So that'll be a 2-day journey. So the natural meditation retreat, however, is nearly full and starts next Monday. Also, there are two retreats at the retreat house in March. The first is the Freedom from the Ego retreat, which is March 11th to 15th. At the Freedom from Ego retreat, you will learn to see how the ego tricks you into living from its guidance instead of following spiritual intuition from the heart. When you leave the retreat, you will see the ego more clearly, and therefore you will have more opportunity to disregard the ego, which is how you free yourself from ego. Regina will emphasize skills that help you transcend ego and recognize inner wisdom as the voice that makes you happy. The second retreat is March, and another meditation and mitigation retreat. It is March 24th to the 29th. If you are interested in either of these retreats, go to awakeningtogether.org and look under Retreats and Classes, Retreats at the Retreat House for more information. And I will be living in La Vida by that time. Yay! Okay, invocation prayer. So just join me for a moment in prayer as we let go of our thoughts about the announcements here and just go within. Dear God, infinite being in love, Holy Spirit, I open my heart and my mind to you. I trust the wisdom and guidance that comes from you as the one true source and as my only guide. I put forth my trust and my willingness to walk the path of purification and healing that shall make the way clear to live in peace and love and presence eternally. Amen. And as my own music maestro now, I'll always miss you in that role. I am going to play a song called The Music in Our Hearts. This is from the Sky on the Road album. And I think there's a picture of, I think, either Mount Fuji or Pikes Peak or something in the background of this album. And it's by a group called Set the Wild One Free. So I am going to share once again, play the mic here. Mute the mic and play the audio.
Winter comes on weary, and the days grow short and dark, and minds and hearts grow troubled, and the fear lies in the breast. When there's time enough for worries, and the sighs come long and hard, time to listen with a feeling for the music in your heart. Oh, the music in your heart. Oh, the music in your heart. It is there amidst your troubles. It's the music in your heart. Oh, some will eat and drink, while others sit and wait for to pass away the hours while still waiting for a sign. But the sign I know is given. I can hear it even yet. It's the sound of a heart singing. It's the music in your heart. Oh, the music in your heart. Oh, the music in your heart. While the night wind comes a-calling, hear the music in your heart. Oh, the music in your heart. Oh, the music in your heart. While the night wind comes a-calling, hear the music in your heart. Now the land outside is sleeping with the growing season done, and the fruits of harvest gathered. Now the winter time has come. We will gather one another as we go along our ways, for to give each one the song we bear, the music in our heart. Oh, the music in our hearts. Oh, the music in our hearts. For to bind us fast together with the music in our hearts. Oh, the music in our hearts. Oh, the music in our hearts. Casting light upon the darkness with the music in our hearts.
Okay, hope everybody heard that. I think you did. I would have gotten complaints if you didn't. Yeah, that was a great song. I was using the playlist from Awakening Together to sort of help me come up with all these. As I realized just this morning that Lynn was no longer our music maestro, and it is up to me, up to us to come up with our music. So next up is our inspirational reading, and Michelle Hudgenacki is going to be our reader this morning. And she is going to be reading from a book. Some of you may be familiar with it, Thich Nhat Hanh, The Heart of the Buddha's Teachings. And it does tie to this morning's topic, in a variety of ways. And it's the way I came about this was the way I come to a lot of the readings that I pick. It's purely intuition. Reaching into a box to pull a book out after I still my mind, or putting my hands on a shelf to pick a book or whatever, it's all led by spirit. So I will turn this over to Michelle, and you can start the reading.
This morning's reading is on right diligence. Right diligence, or right effort, is the kind of energy that helps us realize the Noble Eightfold Path. If we are diligent for possessions, sex, or food, that is wrong diligence. If we work round the clock for profit or fame, or to run away from our suffering, that is wrong diligence also. From outside, it may appear that we are diligent, but it is not right diligence. The same can be true of our meditation practice. We may appear diligent in our practice, but if it takes us farther from reality or from those we love, it is wrong diligence. When we practice sitting and walking meditation in ways that cause our body and mind to suffer, our effort is not right diligence and is not based on right view. Our practice should be intelligent, based on right understanding of the teaching. It is not because we practice hard that we can say that we are practicing right diligence. There was a monk in Tang Dynasty China who practiced sitting meditation very hard day and night. He thought he was practicing harder than anyone else, and he was very proud of this. He sat like a rock day and night, but his suffering was not transformed. One day a teacher asked him, "Why are you sitting so hard?" The monk replied, "To become a Buddha." The teacher picked up a tile and began polishing it. The monk asked, "Teacher, what are you doing?" His master replied, "I am making a mirror." The monk asked, "How can you make a tile into a mirror?" And his teacher replied, "How can you become a Buddha by sitting?" The four practices associated with right diligence are: 1. Preventing unwholesome seeds in our store consciousness to have not yet arisen from arising. 2. Helping the unwholesome seeds that have already arisen to return to our store consciousness. 3. Finding ways to water the wholesome seeds in our store consciousness that have not yet arisen and are asking our friends to do the same. 4. Nourishing the wholesome seeds that have already arisen so that they will stay present in our mind consciousness and grow stronger. This is called the fourfold right diligence. Unwholesome means not conducive to liberation or the path. In our store consciousness, there are many seeds that are not beneficial for our transformation. And if those seeds are watered, they will grow stronger. When greed, hatred, ignorance, and wrong views arise, if we embrace them with right mindfulness, sooner or later, they will lose their strength and return to our store consciousness. When wholesome seeds have not yet arisen, we can water them and help them come into our conscious mind. These seeds of happiness, love, loyalty, and reconciliation need watering every day. If we water them, we will feel joyful, and this will encourage them to stay longer. Keeping wholesome mental formations in our mind consciousness is the fourth practice of right diligence. The fourfold right diligence is nourished by joy and interest. If your practice does not bring you joy, you are not practicing correctly. The Buddha asked the monk Sona, "Is it true that before you became a monk, you were a musician?" Sona replied that it was so. The Buddha asked, "What happens if the string of your instrument is too loose?" When you pluck it, there will be no sound, Sauna replied. What happens when the string is too taut? It will break. The practice of the way is the same, the Buddha said. Maintain your health. Be joyful. Do not force yourself to do things you cannot do. We need to know our physical and psychological limits. We shouldn't force ourselves to do ascetic practices or lose ourselves in sensual pleasures. Right diligence lies in the middle way, between the extremes of austerity and sensual indulgence. The teachings of the seven factors of awakening are also part of the practice of right diligence. Joy is a factor of awakening, and it is at the heart of right diligence. Ease, another factor of awakening, is also essential for right diligence. In fact, not only right diligence, but also right mindfulness and right concentration need joy and ease. Right diligence does not mean to force ourselves. If we have joy, ease, and interest, our efforts will come naturally. When we hear the bell inviting us for walking or sitting meditation, we will have the energy to participate if we find meditation joyful and interesting. If we do not have the energy to practice sitting or walking meditation, it is because these practices do not bring us joy or transform us, and we do not yet see their benefit. When I wanted to become a novice monk, my family thought that a monk's life would be too difficult for me. But I knew it was the only way I could be happy, and I persisted. Once I became a novice, I felt as happy and free as a bird in the sky. When it came time for chanting sutras, I felt as though I had been invited to a concert. Sometimes on moonlit nights, when the monks were chanting the sutras standing by the crescent pond, I thought I was in paradise listening to angels. When I could not attend the morning chanting because I had another task, just hearing the words of the sutra coming from the Buddha hall brought me happiness. Everyone at Two High Pagoda practiced with interest, joy, and diligence. There was no forced effort, just the love and support of our teacher and brothers in the practice. At Plum Village, children participate in sitting and walking meditation and silent meals. At first, they do it just to be with their friends who are already practicing. But after they taste the peace and joy of meditation, they continue on their own because they want to. Sometimes it takes adults 4 or 5 years of practicing the outer form before they taste the true joy of practice. Master Gushin said, "Time flies like an arrow. If we do not live deeply, we waste our life. Someone who can devote her life to the practice, who has a chance to be near her teacher and friends in the practice, has a wonderful opportunity that can bring her great happiness. If we lack right diligence, it is because we have not found a way to practice that is true for us and have not yet felt deeply the need to practice. A mindful life can be wonderful. Waking up in the morning, I smile. 24 brand new hours are before me. I vow to live fully in each moment and to look at all beings with eyes of compassion." Reciting this gatha can give us energy to live the day well. 24 hours are a treasure chest of jewels. If we waste these hours, we waste our life. The practice is to smile as soon as we wake up. Recognize this day as an opportunity for practicing. It is not up to us. It is up to us not to waste it. When we look at all beings in the eyes with love and compassion, we feel wonderful. With the energy of mindfulness, washing the dishes, sweeping the floor, or practicing sitting or walking meditation are all the more precious. suffering can propel us to practice. When we are anxious or sad and see that these practices bring us relief, we will want to continue. It takes energy to look into suffering and to see what has brought about that suffering. But this insight will lead us to see how to end our suffering and the path needed to do so. When we embrace our suffering, we see its origins, and we see that it can end because there is a path. Our suffering is at the center. When we look at the compost, we see the flowers. When we look into the sea of fire, we see a lotus. The path that does not run away from, but embraces our suffering, is the path that will lead us to liberation. It is not always necessary for us to deal directly with our suffering. Sometimes we can just allow it to lie dormant in our store consciousness, and we use the opportunity to touch the refreshing and healing elements within us and around us with our mindfulness. We will take care of our pain like antibodies, taking care of the foreign bodies that have entered our bloodstream. When unwholesome seeds have arisen, we have to take care of them. When unwholesome seeds are dormant, our job is to help them sleep peacefully and be transformed at the base. With right view, we see the way we need to go, and our seeing gives us faith and energy. If we feel better after practicing walking meditation for an hour, we have the determination to continue the practice. When we see how walking meditation brings peace to others, we will have even more faith in practice. With patience, we can discover the joys of life that are all around us, and we will have more energy, interest, and diligence. The practice of mindful living should be joyful and pleasant. If you breathe in and out and feel joy and peace, that is right diligence. If you suppress yourself, if you suffer during your practice, it is not right diligence. Examine your practice. See what brings you joy and happiness of a sustained kind. Try to spend time with the Sangha brothers and sisters who are creating a field of mindful energy that can make your practice easy. Work together with a teacher and with a friend to transform your suffering into compassion, peace, and understanding, and do it with joy and ease. That is right diligence.
Thank you, Michelle. That was beautifully read. Thank you very much for agreeing to be here. And it's interesting how wonderfully the morning has sort of woven in with the songs that Dawn picked and the songs that came up. And the topic that came to me and the reading that came to me, it's just neat to see how spirit is courting all of this. You know, we're all becoming more and more dedicated, more and more disciplined. We're moving further along the path to awakening. And we also have our lives. And the outer circumstances and situations of our life may or may not really change at all. You know, it's that phrase of before enlightenment or awakening, chop wood and carry water. After enlightenment, you chop wood and carry water. The experience of you doing so is very different after awakening, right, than before. You know, when we look at ourselves, there's and face purification and face the negative things, etc., that's what Michael Langford talks about as a negative way of sort of building our motivation to practice. Oh my gosh, I really saw this thing in myself, this attitude, this what Thich Nhat Hanh calls unwholesome seed, right? We see it in ourselves, and then we get motivated to want to keep practicing to get over it. Now, that's one way of motivation that all of us are familiar with. There's also another way of motivation, which is a positive kind of motivation. That is an appreciation and a joy from the practice and a sort of positive vision too. So we can really use both, you know, and our different personalities sort of are keyed a different way, right? So aren't all going to work the same way, but it's an important topic to living in the world with spirit but not of the world has a lot to do with what Thich Nhat Hanh was talking about with keeping things sustained in yourself. Diligence, the motivation. Why do I want to keep doing this? Why am I getting up every day to practice this? You have to find joy in it. There has to be positive reinforcement in it in that way. When I get up in the morning, I've been noticing that, and I've noticed this, I think, more lately, that my mind definitely wants to be active. And I started a upon awakening practice that is just to be with my thoughts immediately and go into that observing state. Because it's true that your mind doesn't really shut off when your body goes to sleep. If you do the sleep research stuff, like I used to study psychology, or if you just Google it and research it, you'll realize that the mind actually stays active for all but about 20% of your sleep time. There's only 20% of your sleep time when your brain and mind is in what you call delta waves, which just means you're not thinking. But and there's still that residual identity, because you're still waking up, you know, thinking you're Kathy Smith or Susan Bacon or Lynn Johnson or Connie Poole. You're still thinking you are this person when you wake up, right? So it didn't go away just because you had 20% of delta sleep the night before. And here we are living our life with the same people we've been with. We're getting up, going to the same job. We're cooking the same kinds of breakfasts. We're doing all these same things in the world. And yet when we let go of our thoughts more and more, and we get into the flow of it, and we live through this heart that was talking about in the song, we have that joy that comes with it. And then the spirit is welcomed into it in more of an active way. So, you know, I was talking to one of the people who is taking the MPP course that I'm facilitating right now. It's a Course in Miracles, Introduction to Course in Miracles. And they were talking about, this daily life stuff. Like, you know, I'm with people all the time that aren't really into spirituality, and they want to talk about politics and their friends and just surface stuff. You know, it's interesting that you don't have to participate in that necessarily and join them by coming up with your own opinions about politics and all this. If you feel like you want to, of course, do that. But if you want to live that inner life and be in the world but not of it, you can still listen with courtesy and hospitality. But what I do is I just ask spirit what to say to respond. And usually there's a really interesting question I may be led to ask that maybe relates to it somehow, but somehow brings the conversation deeper, right? We can live with this guidance of spirit to bring us deeper in the moment, in the very same quote-unquote non-spiritual situations we're in all the time, and yet keep our spirit with us all the time. And I think we actually then act as an agent of spirit in our daily life from all this looking. You know, we bring that to the people we interact with. You know, it's the lyrics from the song that Dawn was playing. I am fully known by God, by awareness. I'm fully known. There's no situation I'm in that I have to feel cut off or disconnected from in any way. You know, as Thich Nhat Hanh is well suggesting, try to spend as much time as you can with your brothers and sisters that are really actively involved with this study, as we do in our sanctuary here. But we can't spend all of our time, right, with the folks that are only, we have work. Maybe we run a business. I run a business. Some of the people here own businesses and have employees like I do. Some you're an employee, you work for a company. You got to go and be a part of these other situations that aren't directly involved with your brothers and sisters in this sangha. So sometimes we can feel, you know, cut off, or people can feel disconnected or lonely, or like, Regina, that's funny. I just thought of that. I wrote today, surfing on the surface is fun, but diving into the ocean is amazing. So it's okay to get over your fear of diving a little deeper with people that just want to surf on the surface. It's okay. That's what I'm learning. You know, sometimes people that I would work with at these companies, man, you're deep. Yeah, I am. I am deep. So what? And they, you know, like, don't be ashamed of it. Don't try to hide it. In other words, you don't need to, you really don't. I mean, sometimes I even talk about God if I feel led to, or, you know, I tell people I meditate and stuff like that. I mean, it's becoming a lot less rare than you think. I mean, people associate it with stress relief, or I'll say, wow, it sure manages my stress well that I meditate, you know. I try to, you know, be as present as I can, you know, and it helps me make less mistakes, if nothing else. Like, there's always a way you can say it that doesn't, you don't have to use terms like Satya Guna and I'm pursuing the Parabrahman of, you don't need to talk in Sanskrit to people that aren't studying all of this stuff, or bring up even a Bible quote. Maybe, I mean, that's more common. I mean, some companies I've worked in actually have a prayer room, and they're totally open to hearing you quote scripture right at work. So even that's not unheard of. But Thich Nhat Hanh is inviting us to live this mindful life. You know, how do we live in the world with spirit? How do we be in the world but not of the world? You know, we have birthdays to celebrate. We've got people in our own families that aren't necessarily interested in all this spiritual stuff. But it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because it's an inner job. What we're doing is finding peace within. It's and sharing that. There doesn't have to be a constant discussion of the teachings all the time about every little thing. It's more important a practice, right? And you know, going back to what Thich Nhat Hanh said is, we can't force ourselves to do this and last long. We've all seen people drop by the wayside on the spiritual path on all the years we've been along it. And if you do not maintain an enjoyment of it to a large degree and really even have fun doing it, you'll eventually just not want to anymore, and you'll want to do something more enjoyable. So the important thing is to practice in the way that brings you the peace. And that's what I love about the way Regina always emphasizes it. This is an individual path. There's little things you do and little ways you go about it, like this thing with me, with waking up in the morning. This is my practice. Maybe that isn't something anyone else is going to do. But for me, it works, and it helps me stay motivated and to be present. And to observe that mind and really get excited when it's like, wow, my mind is so much more still now when I woke up. That's like exciting, cool. You know, I'm like almost getting humorous things like that I hear from Spirit. Like Spirit was talking today about how to ignore the ignoring. Like if you, you know, sometimes we can get into things, and this is like an ego trick where, you know, we don't look at something, you know, we either skip past, or the ego never wants us to look at anything that would reveal, you know, the unconscious stuff. And what helps us to ignore the ignoring is to pay attention, you know. Those words, 24 hours of a brand new day are in front of me. These are little jewels. I can look at all beings with the eyes of compassion. You know, Michael Lankford's 5 steps for the majority. Even when you send your text, you don't have to be nasty when you send your text. Damn it, why didn't you send me that file? You know, you could, hey, how's it going? Would you please send me that file? I think you might have forgotten. That's okay. You know, you don't have to, you know, it's like all these little things, you know, it's like living in the world is full of 1,000 choices throughout our day, you know, and it's a matter of asking ourselves, how is our, you know, our mind is trained, right? We rewrite our brain pathways with every choice we make throughout every day. And these choices come because we make them. We have to choose them. We have to choose it. You know, and yes, as Thich Nhat Hanh was sharing, suffering can propel us to keep practicing in our daily life as a motivation. And maybe a lot of you are familiar with that suffering style of motivation. But there's also a positive way of motivation too. Like he's talking about this joyful, this joy, excitement in your practice. I'm really starting to get into that, to really look forward to it, to have it be easy. I mean, I go back to my same old analogy. Does a kid need to be reminded or forced to open his Christmas presents in Christmas morning? No. A kid doesn't need to be forced to do that or to remember his birthday, his or her birthday. If they love it, they look forward to it, they're incredibly excited about it, they want to do it. So maybe we can all look at like our practices as opening this cool gift, you know. But it doesn't come, the Course in Miracles talks about it as a happy learner, but it's, we have to be honest with ourselves, okay, about where we're at with that. And this is where that radical self-honesty comes in, right? We all have a mind that thinks it's separate. And anxiety and fear will come to any mind that thinks it's separate. It's just the way it works. It's like the ox cart following the horse. The two come together, right? And so as we work to let go of this separation, which is at the core belief of all of our little pretend minds that we so hold on to that we think we have to have, you know, maybe it's possible we're all really living somewhere else and this is just a dream. we're all just awake in joy having a dream, or we're asleep somewhere and but we really live somewhere else. Like, this isn't our real reality. You know, it's like we talk about awakening, we use that word all the time. Awakening is an awakening from sleep, from unconsciousness, from all these things that we believe that are false. So it is a process of using our daily lives to let go of all of these beliefs. You know, we have a huge amount of beliefs about everything about ourselves, all the way from body. Like, how do I identify? If I'm being in the world and of the world, we think of all the ways that we think we're of the world. Of course, with our body, male, female. We got our relationships, you know, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm a spouse, lover, boyfriend, girlfriend, I'm an in-law, I have in-laws. You know, and we put these on like a glove every morning, like a bodysuit we put on every morning. You think you're successful, unsuccessful, you think you're pretty, you think you're ugly, you think you're thin, you think you're fat, well, you think you're a color of your skin, you think all, you put it on like a glove. Every morning. This happened about, I don't know, a year and a half ago. I had a really good meditation before I went to bed, and I went into a really, really deep state. And then when I went to bed and I woke up, it was almost as if for a split second I was somewhere else. And it was nothing but this brilliant light with little shades of other light around it. And all of a sudden, like a curtain shade came down. And it was like, you are Jay McCormick, male, age 51, you live here. And then all of a sudden I came back to this life. And I think I had a peek as to like, this isn't really where I am. This isn't really who I am. It was a peek into something else that was, this is what I'm waking up from. And it was like, this little curtain, it happened in a split second, but it was like a curtain shade came down. And this curtain shade, I think, is this belief in what we think we are, right? In the world, right? We think we're of this world, you know? So I was really drawn this week to talk about just going through and relisting all the ways I think I'm of the world, right? I have this job, I'm a business owner. You know, and these are all ways, you know, arbitrary judgments we take on, which of course will lead to us potentially getting mad at someone, right? If they don't treat us in the way we expect to be treated. You know, because we fit this on like a glove. So how do I move from being in the world but not being of the world? And it's in a very simple way of every single time and just over time, gently chipping away and observing and acknowledging each and every one of these judgments and ways I've identified myself. And just simply loosening up around them. You know, these are the things that take our joy away. Honestly, they really are. Everything we think we are messes us up. Because when a person disagrees with it and says, you're not acting the way you're supposed to act because of this way that I think you should be, or the way you think you should be, or you know, you made a mistake. You know, Dawn gave us all a great example of her job role is to record the recordings, and she didn't do it. And she had this massive, you know, judgment, as we all would in her same role. We would have all done the exact same thing she did. She's absolutely not alone. I've screwed up too. I'm a software guy. I've installed people's programs that broke and they can't work. They can't earn money. What they hired me to do, I was unable to do. Oh my God, I felt so horrible. I suck. You know, I need to fix this. And so how do we be in the world but not of the world? Well, first of all, we admit and we look at the judgments we're feeling, as Dawn gave us a great example of live on air with great courage. But we can follow that same example of first admitting and then, and we won't necessarily get the same loving kindness as we do in the Awakening Together Sanctuary room in the rest of our lives outside of this wonderful sangha that we have. But that's where the compassion comes in. You know, they know not what they do. You know, Jesus forgave the people that were crucifying him because they just didn't realize what they were doing, or any other suffering of any other. This is a common story. It's not just to Christianity and Jesus. We all operate under this. And the people that judge us operate under that same false belief of judgment, and because they're not letting go of their self. But we can choose that. And in Kathy's writing, give yourself compassion. And that's really the thing here that Thich Nhat Hanh's talking about, being good with yourself, being okay with your practice, enjoying your practice. There's the positive side of the motivation too, because this diligence he's talking about, and he uses the term right diligence. So don't get caught in thinking he's trying to be fundamental here. Like, you got to do it the right way. Let go of the word right and just see it as like interpreted, like something that will help motivate you truly. That's what he's calling right. Don't get caught in the right or wrong thing. Even though he used the word like 50 times in the reading, it's just referencing that which will really harmoniously move you forward in a sustained way. That was the whole thing. How can we make it sustained? This diligence has to be sustained. And yes, it can come through suffering, but it also can come through joy. You know, as we learn to let go of this old way of living, of just, you know, becoming unconscious with the roles we play and all these other areas of our life, one by one, these unconscious areas fall away and we become mindful in an area where we hadn't become mindful, where we weren't mindful. And in that little way, we are now no longer of the world. In that little way, we're now in the world, but not of it, because we checkmarked off that little identity, that little unconscious piece where we just turned on the autopilot and became of the world and did our thing. We now brought light to that area. You know, but to do this, we got to really be grateful for it and be excited about it and practice. We've got to practice the meditation and awareness, watching awareness is a great practice. But make sure our heart is in the right place and that we want to do it, right? That we want to do it, that we really enjoy it, like a dip in a wonderful, waters. I had a dream last night of all this water, these waters, and flowing waters. That was interesting symbolism. I did do some writing to prepare for today to some degree. Most of this is spontaneous. So some of the things I want to share are, stories of tragedy that are written, and our stories of joy are also written by us, and that we can choose, and that there is no burden worth carrying and no trail of tears that is worth keeping. Realize that it is a weight you carry, and that you've grown weary of carrying this weight. There is only one life and only one death, and it is the death that no one wants to embrace, that the death you need to seek. And it is not a death, but a movement into life. Let go of the desire to keep what brings you. Let go of the desire to keep what brings you suffering, like a coal that you must let go of that burns your hand, It is only in the life that real joy can be felt. And this joy can only be accessed through releasing the burden you carry. The path that now stretches has no end, for it never began. It just keeps going in its wonderful mystery, and delight in the expression of all that is known. There are four steps for you to remember. 1, forget everything that you've learned. 2, remember everything that you know already inside. 3, let people be just as they are. And 4, go in love to all. In the looking, the bonds of your own creation are loosened, because you can see the knots that have been tied. You see which loop is woven under which other strand, and gently pull just to the right degree, so that all will be unraveled. In learning to let go, we learn to live here, now, in the world, but not of it, as we have learned and continue to learn to live in joy. If you resist life, you resist joy. Resistance cannot last if it is brought to the looking. What lasts is the endurance of spirit, recognition of foundation, acknowledgement of source, and the abiding in your heart. When you look, make sure you see what you see as you and what you judge as not you, for that judgment never will be you. And so when I wrote those things, I was guided to write this and then read it in the service today, which I've just done. And for me, I love the lines about what lasts is the endurance of spirit, and how that ties into this diligence that Thich Nhat Hanh is talking about. When we recognize our foundation, when we recognize and check in and ask within, that helps us be not of the world. We don't have anywhere to go. We all know that. We're not going. There's nowhere to go. We're already there. There's no journey. It's our journey, but it's not really going anywhere. As Brent Haskell reminds us, it's a journey without distance, right? We're here. We're with each other. And we're also with people that aren't on our spiritual path throughout our days, not necessarily in the sanctuary here, accepting us when we fall flat on our face and loving us when we do silly things and forget to just lovingly tell us. But this is where we can practice, right? We can practice. We don't need to try to join in their opinions and all this other stuff. We don't need to do that if we don't feel we want to. We can still remain present and yet listen and be and ask for guidance how to do this and let go and listen with an open mind so that we can hear what's being told to us. Because we all speak, even about others, as just nothing but a testimony of what we think of ourselves, and we all know that. So if we listen with the right mind, people's judgments they're sharing about other people really are just about themselves. And we can have such compassion when we listen, because then we realize this person is actually telling us about themselves. You know, that's really what's going on there. We don't have to pay attention and believe what they're saying about the other people or things or opinions. You know, this honesty that a lot of us are really in the midst of right now, and getting radically honest and being incredibly honest, having like read as much as I have and stuff like that and studied, I've identified a lot as an intellectual person, as a scholarly person, as someone that can quote things and knows a lot about books and spiritual concepts and all that. And what I appreciate about the 7 steps teaching right now in step 1 is knowing the difference between, you know, the concepts and getting lost in them and actually practicing, and how I'm feeling a movement in myself to ease that away from me, you know, because that's been a way I've gotten caught into arrogance and know-it-allness and I'm right and you're wrongness. So for me, living in the world and less of the world, that's really welcome for me to not only be honest about that, but to really let it go. Because it doesn't help being a know-it-all. It doesn't help, you know, having information you can spout out. I mean, it may, but it's like, for me, that's one of those unwholesome seeds that can return to the store consciousness, like what Thich Nhat Hanh was talking about. I've been asked to repeat the four practices and the four things we are to remember to release the mind. One, forget everything you have learned. Two, remember everything you already know inside. Three, let people be just as they are. And four, go in love to all. Or maybe they could be called four rules of life, or four rules to just remember, four rules to practice. They're nothing you haven't heard before, and they're nothing new, but they came to me to share today. So for whatever they're worth, not that we need more lists, because Buddhism is full of lots of lists. Seven of this, five of that, 12 of that. But these rules, these practices can be really helpful. I mean, for me, forgetting everything I've learned is a really big thing that's up right now, because it's we're dealing a lot with letting go of concepts, right? So moving from being a know-it-all to being someone that doesn't know anything, right? And if I am to speak about something, then I'll let it come to me and not try to remember it in my brain. I'm going to just let it come up. And if it doesn't come up, then it's not supposed to come up, and I don't need to worry about it. So it is about 13 after, and I'm feeling complete with what I want to share in the homily today. Living in the world, but not being of the world. You know, let's practice this right diligence. I'll review just quickly some of the things that Thich Nhat Hanh talked about. Prevent unwholesome seeds in your store consciousness that have not yet arisen from arising. Two, helping the unwholesome seeds that have already risen to return to the store consciousness, which means that they become something you don't keep paying attention to, and they just fade away like an old brain pathway that gets just dissolved because it's not being used. Three, finding ways to water the unwholesome seed, the wholesome seeds in our store consciousness that have not yet arisen, and asking our friends to do the same. Four, nourishing the wholesome seeds that have already arisen so that they will stay present in our mind consciousness and grow stronger. And this is the fourfold right diligence. And this can be sustained when we also find a joyful way to practice, a way to practice that we, you know, brings us that appreciation and that joy in life. And I've got a song that came to me that I'm going to play now as we go into sort of a meditation and contemplation of, you know, what was presented. And this is a song you all know. It's What a Wonderful Life, Louis Armstrong.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. the colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Thanks, Louie. I love that song. That was a great song. That was Don't Worry, Be Happy Plan. It's a good song, too. So here we are. I know that we also exist off of donations. So if Dawn could put up the donation link and you feel guided to, if you don't already, to donate, to provide to us financially too. Yeah, this was a great, great message today. A lot of points here, that can help us to be in the world around all the different people we are around in situations and not feel like we have to lose our spirituality in any way, that we can keep it with us, you know, and also to stay motivated to keep practicing. I want to open it up now, I guess the next 10 minutes or so until we finish it out for the service, to share, to, people to chime in, comment, you know, what did they feel inspired by from the material, or anything you want to add to it from your thoughts or contemplations. So, Carla, your mic. Carla, I don't hear you. So, Lynn, you want to take the mic?
Okay, sure. Can you hear me? Okay. Jay, what a wonderful, wonderful talk this morning. That's exactly, I mean, seriously, where we all are in so many ways. You know, I find myself in and out of the water all the time. You know, I find myself being in this place where I am connected to everything and there is nothing but love, and then I find myself falling into a place where, you know, I'm in judgment and fear, and recognizing that as quickly as possible and moving back into that sweetness is so essential. And I recognize, you know, the music thing, which is really huge for me. Okay, that's a big part of my specialness. Is the music. I love the music, and I connect the music, and the music connects me. And, you know, the idea that my computer didn't work good enough to play music here was just so shocking to me and so much of an affront to my identity. It was like, oh my God, I'm not the music person anymore. And I was pretty upset, but understanding completely, I'm not, you know, unhappy about it in any way at all now, because at the time I was so identified with that I didn't see my value or my worth to Awakening Together without it. And so, you know, I that's why I started a fundraiser to get a new computer, because I was like so motivated. But I realized that it really isn't about any of that, because I recognize how much you guys love me. And you love me with or without my music. That was something I didn't really understand before. And that whole belief in a personal self that has some meaning is just, you know, it's so foolish and so, so painful. Anyway, thank you, Jay. Wonderful talk. And I love your music. It's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for playing music I haven't heard. and it's exciting to me.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Lynn. I had to let go of my attachment to Lynn as the music director because I got into a little fear. I got into a little oh crap moment this morning when I realized at a habitual tendency that Lynn Johnson is our music director. I'm like, I didn't pick out the music. Then I, you know, breathed and went back into presence. You know, I just had that moment of, oh crap. And then I went, wait a minute, we have an Awakening Together playlist. There's spirit. I've got hands. I can type. There's YouTube. We're okay. Don't worry about it. You know, it's relaxed, Jay. Just chill out. It's fine. And the music turned out fine. And Lynn shared a great example of her, you know, the role failure we can sometimes get into where we just have the most judgments. You know, those are the hardest things for us to not judge ourselves on. And we just, you know, the things that we think we're special about. And, you know, for me, it's, you know, delivering these programs to clients. And for Lynn, it was this music. And, you know, for Dawn, it was recording the music in her role as sanctuary director. You know, these are the things that, you know, where our greatest challenges are and where we really have to practice. So, Joanne, your mic. Unmute yourself.
Okay. All right. Hello. How are you? Thank you so much, Jay. I really enjoyed your talk, as I always do. It was great to be reminded of the middle way because that's definitely a path for me in my practices to avoid the extremes. I like the whole theory. I'm definitely going to listen to this again and just like really be still and listen. There were a lot of great messages. I absolutely love the readings. And I just wanted to say thank you so much. And it's a great way for me to get ready to go out and face my day. And everybody, you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Joanne. I guess that's what it's all about, isn't it? Facing our day, because that's what we've got, our 24 hours in front of us. We don't all live in a hermitage or a cloistered environment where we'll only always just be around people that are meditating, right? So we live in the world and surrender is our path in the world. So anyone else care to share? We have about 6 minutes left. Shauna, your mic.
I wanted to thank you so much for this message today because since we started Gentle Healing 3, a new sense of humor has come in and a sense to just enjoy our practice. And Michael Langford had a video that was called Enjoy Your Practice. And Michael Langford actually said, enjoy your practice. It was awesome. So this permission to be joyful that you gave me today, Jay, is so valuable. Just natural joy comes through when we practice, when we know we have a choice. And sometimes I feel so outwardly joyful that I feel like, oh no, tamp it down. People think you're nuts. Don't be so joyful. And that's, you've just given me permission today, Jay. So thank you so much. And thank you everyone for your contribution of the Sangha. I love you guys.
Woohoo, I want to be living with a joyful person. Awesome. Sweet. What more can I ask for? All right. So anyone else would like to share, take the mic. Even if they feel they don't practice this well and they do get caught completely out of their spirituality at all when they go throughout their day. Yeah, I mean, that's, talk about that. You know, we're into radical honesty right now. Just everyone just let it hang out, right? I mean, let's not pretend here. Let's just, whatever you're going through, we all fall flat. We all just are where we're at. The only way to move forward is to by looking at where you're at. That's it. That's all we can do. The courage to face where you're at. We've got some great examples of courage that were shown here in the sanctuary and are continuously being shown about honesty and admitting and just letting the wall down and being real with each other and with ourselves and knowing that you're going to be accepted here if you do and not judged. And it's very healing if you do choose to do that. And it's just little things, you know, it's all about the little things. You know, what's the devil's in the details? You know, the these ego thoughts creep into little pretenses, little ways we shut off our awareness, or all these little ways we live in the world, you know. And it's that, to me, is the spiritual path. That is the spiritual path, is becoming aware of those things. You know, rule number three, let people be just as they are. Rule number four, go in love to all. I should have entitled the sermon, The Four Rules. Would have been better. But there's already plenty of lists that Thich Nhat Hanh gave us. We don't need more lists. So, Kathy, your mic, take it away.
Okay, I think you can hear me now. God, so many things from that reading. That reading was pretty intense. Trying just listening to it, that whole, it seemed like a whole list of things, practices that we can be mindful about, that I can be mindful about. You know, yet being honest at the same time while being in the world, and you know, quickly forgetting those things, sometimes seemingly minutes after I've just heard them. Yeah, that happens. Noting the frustrations that happen while not being attached to them, you know, changing out of those well-grooved, seemingly ingrained portions of the brain where the pathways automatically take you down a flow that, if not being mindful, you know, can seem like rapids. Like, how did I get here? I thought I just stepped into, you know, the pond to, you know, cool off or enjoy my ride, or, you know, float down the lazy river, and finding myself instead in some sort of torrid rush of a stream of thoughts that seemingly take me someplace else. So that constant vigilance is challenging for me, and I often find myself distracted or wanting to do something else. And one of the ways that showed up this week was in my meditation practice. I did I usually almost always do Karen's meditations, but I went to a loving consciousness meditation instead. And I'm telling you, it was like pulling teeth. It was like such a struggle. And there was just that, you know, I noticed myself, you know, making noises and being resistant and just like, this is just not working for me. And what, you know, what's occurred to being okay with that too, what's occurred to me is just this, in the reminder this morning in meditation with Karen, live here in the room, that very palpable heart sense that comes with that form of meditation. It doesn't matter the form of the meditation. I was just trying a different one. And so, you know, I will go back to listening to that particular form of meditation with Karen for now. It just makes my heart sing. It just sinks me deeper into that space of quiet. And so that's the point. That's the point. So it's really not about, you know, we can take suggestions and try those suggestions. But for me, I want to, you know, hone in on what it is that works for me. I don't want to feel like because this works for somebody else, I should do that, when in fact I'm not feeling it at all, or I feel very resistant to it. It's not to say that I can't go back to it at a later time. But if I note that it's not, if it's not a, you know, in the word joy feels strong for me, so I tend not to use that, at least I can, you know, like it, love it, try to love it, accept it, be with it to the best of my ability right now. And so if that something resonates right now, I'm prone to stick with it because that is the experience that I want. And so that seems to be the vehicle that helps me to be in that space. And that's all I want to share. Thanks.
I really appreciate you, Kathy, a lot. I appreciate how you are very vigilant against you know, like you'll only do things that work for you. And if it doesn't work for you, you're not only going to not do it, but you'll, you know, let us know it doesn't work. And that's, you know, hello, everybody there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I think I can still hear you, Kathy. So like, that's, to me, honestly, that's like an example for us, because you need to admit to yourself if something's working or not. Don't think just because, I mean, there's a lot of choices out there, okay? The way you go about it has to be sort of tailored to you. And I'm really appreciative of Kathy for, you know, just saying that, because that's an important thing. So our service is now wrapped up, and I will going to play the next song. Don't worry, be happy. And then we'll close out the service. There we go. It's right there on YouTube. Okay, there it is. Let me share here.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry. Be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry. Be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry. Be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry. Be happy. When you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy.
Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this.
Don't worry.
It will soon pass, whatever it is.
Don't worry, be happy.
I'm not worried.
All right, thanks for sharing and joining in, everyone. Back to you, Dawn.